Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
Release me.
Release me.
Release me.
Oh, take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
Release
me. Oh, release me.
Release.
Oh, take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
Chicago, yes sir, it's about to go down. Israel, let's go.
Hey, no limit.
Yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. It's the hottest radio show in the land. Chicago Limit Talk Radio is on the air. That's right, we are on the air, broadcasting live as always. You heard me, broadcasting live as always from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio with you today. I'm excited to be here with y'all on this Praise Break Friday. It just dawned on us, we haven't been on the air two Fridays in a row, but we are on the air and we are live right now, coming to you again from the birthplace of gospel music, the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Man, excited to be here today. We got a great conversation for you all later on today. Well, all of our conversations are great, but we got a great article for you today. Worship spectators or participators? Huh? Worship spectators or participators? Which one are you? We're going to talk about that and so much more on today. I'm excited to be here as always. But look, let me get through the preliminaries and the particulars real quick. Let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. I forgot to tell you too. Somebody asked me when we was gonna let them be a guest on the show. Your former boss. Anyway, this is how it works. So if you are a first time listener, if you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. 704-375 is your call-in number. All you got to do is do that. Push one. That'll get you to my producer on the other side of the glass, the best producer in the land, LaTanya Melton, taking all of your calls. 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way. Again, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on IG, follow us on the gram, you can do that as well. Follow us on Instagram, real simple, TTLO Radio. That's right, TTLO Radio, two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us on your Instagram feed. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us on Facebook. And then the live stream is up and running. I see y'all coming in. Come on in. We know our outreach on Facebook is limited. We've been getting around some stuff, but we're gonna continue to get around some stuff. But facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Thank y'all so much. Look, if you're listening or watching right now via Facebook, go ahead and type something in the comments so we know you are there. I'd like to speak to y'all already. To God be the glory, Pitts. God bless you. Good to see you. Good to see you. And tell Mr. to God be the glory, Pitts. We said hello to him as well. God bless him as well. We're going to have a good time on tonight. Don't forget too, we are an iHeartRadio partner, so you can also find us on your iHeartRadio app. All you have to do is look for Taking the Limits Off Media Group Not only will you find the TTLO radio show, but you'll also find the Healthy Soul Talk show with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Brand new start time, 5:30 Central Time. That's her brand new start time. She is back and better than ever. Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Real talk, real issues, real solutions right here. She will, man, look, it's a wonderful thing, man, when you can get somebody that can just ease your mind about some things. So Dr. Kimberly Thomas, every Tuesday at 5:30 right here on the TTLO Media Group station. Then also on Tuesdays, you can also catch Kitchen Chronicles with my brother, the one, the only pastor of the Faith Works and Vision Church on the west side of Chicago, Pastor Harold Washington, hosts a show called Kitchen Chronicles, where he feeds your body and your soul, huh? Kitchen Chronicles, you can catch that every Tuesday, somewhere around 7:15, 7:30, somewhere right around that time, you can catch the Kitchen Chronicles show. You can also, on Thursdays, she'll be back real soon, probably not this, maybe next week Thursday, right? She'll be back next week Thursday, Grindology will be back. She had to take a couple quarantine days, but Grindology will be back next Thursday, with Lisette Herndon. All of your marketing, branding, small business needs, she can help you with all of that. Starting a business, non-profit, any of those types of organizations you're looking to start anything in, she can definitely help you all with that. Amen, amen, and amen. Also, don't forget you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on iTunes. Anywhere you can listen or download a podcast, you can find us there. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Man, how are you guys doing? It is the end of what appeared to be, I don't know about anybody else, this week didn't seem like it was ever going to get to the end. Normally, weeks go fast. Sometimes they do what, you know, but this one just seemed like it was going to drag on, as they say, for yet a little while. And this one lasted yet a little while. But we have gotten through it. It's Friday. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome day today. I'm just excited, man. So look, before we get into all of our regular conversation, I want to know something from some of y'all. I want to kind of do this. What are y'all go-to worship songs? What are y'all go-to worship songs? Like, what's your go-to? Like, right now, if you had to play a song right now, worship, praise, whatever, or praise or worship song, what is it right now? Is it a choir song, gospel song? What's your go-to worship song? Y'all let me know. Let me know. Put your comments out there for us. But what is your go-to worship song, man? Looking forward to hearing from you guys. Just want to know what's on your brain cells, man. What's on your brain? How does that fit into your daily worship? What songs are in the top of your playlist? Your go to worship songs, your go tos, right? Because you know you got to have something that you can go to. So I'm just curious as to what are your go to worship songs. And while you guys are doing that, I'll wait and get some comments on that. But yeah, can you do me a favor? Put that in the comments and pin it up there in the Facebook comments. What is your go to worship? What are your go to worship songs? She says, "Mister says hello." Amen. Amen. So you all know we are. Man, if you're here in the city of Chicago where we are, and I don't care where you listen, I know we have listeners all around the world and around the United States of America. Our country is on the verge of being in a complete lockdown. That COVID map looks awfully Republican. That's all I'm gonna say. It looks real red. I mean, it's that COVID map is looking real unfamiliar right now. I mean, it's horrible, man. And the numbers are just going up. And so we're on the verge of being locked down starting Monday. Chicago is going to be back on, they don't need to do Tanya and I were talking about this earlier. They don't need to do a lockdown because everything is going to be closed at 9:00. So we're just at a place now, man, where this is where we are. And I just honestly think, and I know as far as the economy goes, it's a problem and all that, but that can be locked down. Just lock this stuff down for 2 weeks, period. Just lock it all down. Everybody go get what you need. Go get what you need this weekend, and then just stay in the crib, unless you're essential. Just stay in the crib and chill. Just, you know. And truth be told, people got real lax. That's why these numbers went up. People got real lax. We saw people out, you know, no mask. Y'all having parties in y'all backyards. Y'all kids coming home from school every other weekend when they should be a butts at home or butts in the building. And then they coming back and forth. They down at school. I wonder what type of social distancing is going on the campuses. You know what I'm saying? What's the if you in your dorm room, if you live in your dorm, are people from other dorms allowed in your dorm? Or are they not that I wonder how stringent and strict they are when it comes to the social distancing on college campuses. Because, you know, a lot of this stuff is just and they're blaming the young people. They are. They're saying that because the young people are, you know, gathering and excuse me, they did all those gatherings early on, and now it's now we're paying for it. And now Thanksgiving is around the corner. And yesterday I was reading an article. They were saying if you plan on hosting a Thanksgiving, if you plan on hosting a Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, you should already be in quarantine for the next 2 weeks, so that by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. To God be the glory, Pitt says. To God, is that your song? To God be the glory. That's your song. Sister Pitt, that's your song. To God be the glory. Or is it war cry is a separate song? Or are you talking about war cry, the Kojic chant? Is that what we're talking about? Which one are we talking about? We talking about war cry, the Kojic chant? Or is that a different song? I know the Kojic chant. My man was the late Bishop Moles would get you that good war cry in a heartbeat, huh? Come on now, don't play with me, Bishop Moles would get you that war cry now. She said yes. That's what she's talking about. Okay, because I was going to say what's my man William Murphy? William Murphy did a "To God Be the Glory" song. Let me give y'all a little bit of that. Huh? Yeah, I like that. I know that ain't the one you was talking about. I know what you was talking about, Sister Pitts. Sister Pitts was talking about being in the midst of worship, and when Bishop Moles would hit that good old joint, that war cry joint. That's what she's talking about. She talking about when Bishop Moles would do one of these right here. That's it. Huh? I should have sent you this to play this. Facebook wouldn't have blocked this one. Huh? Come on, y'all. One time. What? Huh? Uh-huh. Come on. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, Bishop. That's it. That's it. That's it. My God. All right. All right. Let me stop. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's still get it there. Look, that's from them old, what they call the convocations. That's from the, and that's old. That video is from the International Holy Convocation 2009. You can see the old video on YouTube, and you see all the bishops. Larry Trotter is there. T.D. Jakes is there. All these cats is in there with their bishop outfits on. In the words of Michael Henderson, their bishop skirts. But they still getting it. They still getting it. I ain't mad, though. I like it. I like it. I like to see people celebrate God. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like seeing folks celebrate God. But you're right, Sister Pitts, because Ricky Dilla got one too now. Look, let me give us a few minutes and we're going to move on. Come on. What? Come on, y'all. Y'all better get it. You better get yours. I'm gonna get mine. Huh? Don't wait for me. Look, I ain't gonna wait for you. Huh? That's it. That's it. Come on. Break down. All right, all right, all right, all right. Let me stop. Let me stop. Let me stop. Let me stop. Let me stop playing with y'all tonight. Let me. My God, it ain't nothing like church and praise breaks in church. They are. I think a lot of times we take for granted Spirit of God moves, and how He delights in our worship and how He delights in our praise. He inhabits. The Bible tells us that He inhabits the praises of His people. So think about that for a moment. If the Bible says, let me calm Ricky down, because Ricky gonna have me acting up in here. Where you at, Ricky? If the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people, then my question is, that means if I want to be closer to God, I ain't preaching, I'm just talking, but that means if I want to be closer to God, that means how about I go ahead and lift up a praise? Give Him something to inhabit. I don't hear nobody. Ain't nobody saying that. If I lift up a praise and give Him something to inhabit, then wouldn't that help me out in the long run? Wouldn't I be better off giving God something that He can inhabit? The Bible says, Dana didn't say it, the Bible says He inhabits, come on now, He inhabits the praises of His people. That's in the book. That's in the book. Come on now. Come on now. Look at Psalms. I think it's Psalm 22 and 3. Huh? Psalm 22 and 3. Come on. Psalm 22 and 3. Look at it real quick. Look at it real quick. Psalm 22 and 3. My. Watch this. He says, "But thou art just and true in all thy ways. This he adds strengthens his faith and enforces prayers and prevail with God for the honor of his holy name to hear and help him. But thou art holy. Oh, my God. O thou that inhabitest, the praises of your people. Oh, my God. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all just don't miss it. Whom thy people are perpetually praising. See, that's why certain folk, that's why certain folk just live in praise. See, and when you make praise and worship your lifestyle, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When you make praise and worship a lifestyle and not just something you just do on Sunday, I don't hear nobody. When you make it something that you do more than just on Sunday, then it becomes a part of your daily lifestyle. And then if you are a walk, watch this. Why, if you're a walking praise, if you're a walking praise, y'all don't hear me. If I'm a walking, talking, living praise, then the living God, oh God, will then inhabit what I'm doing. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying right now. I wish y'all would get this. It's necessary. It's necessary for us to live a lifestyle of praise. Because see, when you live a lifestyle of praise, when Sunday comes. I ain't got to poke and prod you on Sunday. When you live a lifestyle of praise and worship, I'm not saying that all you do is listen to gospel music all day, every day. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're living your life in a way that God can inhabit what you do. Y'all ain't hearing me. If you choose to elevate your level of praise, elevate it to a, watch this, move it to a place where he can come on in and rest. I want to praise God so that I not just get his attention, keep his attention. Can I make it perfect? See, it's one thing it's one thing to see it and it go past you. It's another thing to see it and touch it, It's another thing to see it, touch it, and bring it on to you. You follow what I'm saying? I don't want God to just come by, peek in, and move on to the next place. I want him to come in and say, oh, God, I like what they're giving me. I like what they're giving off today. It's a sweet-smelling savor. I just want to sit and rest in this. Come on and keep the praise coming. And see, you won't get tired. If you got some folks that's helping you praise, y'all don't hear what I'm saying right now. You won't get tired if you don't have to pray. Look, I don't mind praising God by myself, but when I can feed off your praise, and you can feed off my praise, and then we can feed off our neighbor's praise, if something different happens in the room when there is a when you're in the midst of corporate worship. Help me, Holy Ghost, in here. Help me. I wish y'all would come on and get this with me, because see, it's so important that we stop allowing other people to dictate how and when we praise God. But see, if we let other people make our plans or dictate our plans, then they also have the power to change our plans. come on. See, y'all don't miss this. And you say, what you talking about, preacher? If you let the church, the pastor, the musician, whoever, the praise team leader, singer, if you let them dictate your praise, that means you're giving them power to let you know when you can and can't praise God. And my question to you is, why would you give them that type of power? So if I give them that type of power, that means when I get to church and they sing something I don't like, they play something that I don't think is this, or they don't sound that good, or if the pastor is in a mood and he don't feel like it, or he don't understand it, and he decided to cut it off, that means my praise has been interrupted by somebody else. But if I'm a blood-washed praiser and I get my praise wherever I am. Nobody can interrupt my praise. I don't care how good or bad they sound. I don't care what attitude they have. I don't care if I walk in, they got their arms folded, looking like a big Buddha doll. It don't matter to me. I can still get my praise. Huh? I said what I said. I can still get my praise. There is something. There is something. There's something about walking into a room and the Spirit of God meeting you there. And that happens, watch this, when it's a place that's conducive to worship. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. That's why I love visiting my brother's church over there on the west side of Chicago, Faith Works and Vision. Because see, it's a place that has an atmosphere that's conducive to worship. Mm. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all. I want y'all to get this. When you have an atmosphere that's conducive to worship, an atmosphere that's conducive to praise, there's something different about the room. There's something different about the room when you have a place that has a attitude or an atmosphere that allows worship. It's like those things that are there's certain materials that are good conductors of electricity. There are certain materials that are conducive or good conductors of electricity. We know metal is a good conductor. A good conduit for electricity. We know wood is not. We know rubber is not. But when you have something that's conducive for worship, you can it smells like worship. Worship has a sound, and you can hear it when you walk in the room. See, can I put on my Tanya? Don't laugh too hard. Can I put on my meteorological hat for a hot second? When warm air increases, the atmospheric pressure changes, and then the air that's associated with the cold, when the two of them meet, that's what then produces, come on now, that's what then produces clouds. Come on now, we're talking about, now, you know, what are they called? Cumulus clouds? I was going to say crowds. Cumulus clouds. And they only rise when the temperature is warmer than that of the surrounding air, right? So when you have those things happen, that's the perfect situation to produce rain and storms. Well, how about this? If you're in a place, if you're in a place and other folks are come on now, if you're in a place where you bring all of yours to the table, and I bring all of mine to the table. Come on now, somebody look at your neighbor and say, potluck. You bring all of yours to the table. I bring all mine to the table, and somebody else brings theirs. Now you got an atmosphere conducive for worship, meaning that, watch this, even if I didn't feel like it, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Look, I probably don't want no rain. But when the atmosphere is conducive to rain, if I'm out there, guess what? I'm going to get wet too. Oh, glory to God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying right now. If I'm out there, I'm going to get wet too. I didn't want to get wet, but I'm out there in it because I'm outside. I chose to be outside, which means I opened myself up to the possibility that I might get wet. Oh, God. Watch this. Come on, y'all. Stay with me. So that means, if I go to a church, come on now, that has an atmosphere, come on now, that has an atmospheric function that's conducive to worship, that's conducive to praise, come on now, then the chances are
chances are, if I just happen to show up, and when the Spirit of God decides to inhabit, oh Lord, the praises of his people. Look, I might, if I'm just sitting on the road with you, glory to God, I might be going through something, but I happen to be there. I took a chance and I showed up. And when I showed up, God decided to show up too. Why? Because it's an atmosphere that's conducive. And God, the Bible tells us that he inhabits the praises of his people. My God. That's something that I just went there. I don't know. That wasn't part of the script today. We didn't. It was gooder and gooder now, huh? Sometimes it just get gooder. I want to be in a place, and all of us should want to be in a place that has an atmosphere that's conducive to worship. Like, what do I need to do on a weekly basis in my life that every time I go up into praise, I feel God's presence? Let me say that again. What do you have to do? That's the question you ought to be asking yourself. What do I need to do that so that every time I lift up my voice, every time I raise my hand, every time I stomp my feet, every time I put my hands together, every time I wave my hand, I can feel the presence of God? Well, let me tell you what you do. It has to become a part of your lifestyle. My God today. So there's something about a praise. There's something about a praise that lifts burdens. Huh? Glory to him. There's something about a praise that lifts burdens. Huh? I said this the other day. When last week when I preached, I told him, I said the more you praise him, the more his power is released. Ah. Huh? Come on now. Come on now. The more you praise him, the more you praise him, the bigger he gets. Huh? Come on. Y'all help me. I want my God to be big. Look, my God needs to be bigger than my problems. And whatever I need to do to get him bigger than my problems, if I got to praise him through the problem, oh, glory to him. If I got to praise him through the problem, then so be it. That's what I'm going to do. My God, today, there is nothing like praising the Father, worshiping him. It's a level of, and then when praise, watch this, when praise reaches its plateau, and then you move from praise into worship, you move from the outer court, and the outer court is when we're outside. The outer court is when we at home. The outer court is when we're in our car. I'm gonna help somebody today. The outer court is when we're in our cars and we're just, you know, we wherever we are. The inner court is when you get to the sanctuary, and that's the inner court. But then when the atmosphere changes. Woo! Come on now. When the atmosphere changes, that's when you move beyond the veil. Oh, glory to him. Anybody want to move beyond the veil? I feel preaching now. Anybody want to move beyond the veil? Anybody want to go look? Anybody want to peek behind, get a glimpse of what's behind the curtain? My God. That's where true worship, that's where worship changes your whole circumstance. Out of court worship is beautiful. Inner court worship is one. But when you get beyond the veil, my God, when you can get beyond the veil and then just lay at his feet. Come on now. When Mary and Martha was had that party at the house, and they got mad. Mary got mad. Martha got mad, rather. Cause she was up running, and you know, Martha running back and forth and getting all the stuff out the kitchen, and she checking to make sure that all the sternos were still lit and that everybody had a this and a that and all that. And she looked up, and Mary was sitting down at Jesus' feet. And Jesus told her, she said, Jesus said, look at Martha, I know you're upset. He said, but don't get mad, because Mary is over here getting the good part. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He said, Mary is getting the best part of the party, because Mary is right here where the power is. Ah, Mary was sitting at the foot of his, oh my God, Mary was sitting at the foot of his glory. Jesus Christ. Ah, she was sitting at the foot of his glory. That's when God moved. You ever seen a kid, a baby, a little kid that's like a toddler, and he grabs onto your leg, and you know how you can walk, and they just hold on to the bottom of your feet? Look, sometimes that's how we want to do God. We just want to latch on, huh? We want to be like Jacob when he was wrestling with the angel, where he said, "Lord, I'm not gonna let you go until you bless me." Ooh. Jacob wrestled with that thing, with that angel, all night long. And when it was time for the sun to come up, Jacob still wanted to worship some more. And the Lord said, no, I got to, look here, the angel, I got to go. And he said, no, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. My God. I want to know if there's anybody that's got, I ain't going to let you go spirit. Woo! Glory to him. Huh? Is there anybody with a, I ain't going to let you go spirit until you bless me? God, I'm not going to, look here. God, I'm not going to stop worshiping and praising until you show up and sit down. God, look, I need you to inhabit this praise, because we got some stuff that we need to do, and we can't do it. Come on now. All right, we can't do it, Lord, until you show up. Lord, we've tried all of our schemes. We've tried all of our plans. We've done this. We've done that. We've done all this. We've tried by hook or back crook. But now, God, we just want you to just show up, God. And the best way we know, huh? The Bible tells us the best way we can get you to show up is to praise you. Huh? Glory to him. Bible tells us, he said, if I be lifted up, my God, I'll draw all men unto me. So look, if we just gonna keep lifting you up until you show up, huh? My God. Folks is lacking. Churches are lacking. Churches are going without. Folks don't have what they need, and all of this. And a lot of times, I often ask this question, and I said this. I think I said this the other day. If you want to check a church's situation, a church is lacking, or a church is missing something, check their level. Look, before you check their bank account, check their praise account. I don't hear nobody. I'm talking to myself. I don't hear no, ain't nobody saying nothing. Look, check how much praise they got stored up. Pull open they, look, see what they praise 401k say. What do they worship 401k say? Is it anything in the bucket? Do they got any stuff stored up? I don't hear nobody. Do they got anything stored up somewhere? Constantly got your hand out, constantly begging, constantly seeking God to give you something. What does your church's praise look like? Because if we believe what the Bible says, that he inhabits the praise of his people, then look here, if I want God to make a deposit, oh, glory to him, then maybe I ought to open up the... Maybe I ought to open up the door. Maybe I need to open up my praise. Maybe I need to open it up so he can come and leave something, huh? Look here. Maybe if I open it up and I can praise God until he can come in, he can sit down and get comfortable. Look, maybe if he sit long enough, something will fall up out of his pocket and we can find it later on in the couch. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get y'all to get this with me. If we praise God, I think all prayers would be answered if we worshiped him. All prayers, all needs would be met. Because he did say he'd never leave us nor forsake us, huh? He said that in his word, that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd never see, watch this, he said, I'd never seen the righteous forsake or his seed begging bread. I read that in the book now. His seed, come on now, begging bread. Come on, I want y'all to get that. Come on, that's what he said. He says, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Huh? My. There's something about praising God that takes the pressure off of you. Woo! My God. There's something about praising him that takes the weight off your back. See, we stop the verse right there when we say nor his seed begging bread. But we got to get to that next verse where it says he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Ah. Ha. Ha ha. See? Come on now. He is merciful and he lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Come on. Y'all need to get this with me. Don't go nowhere. Look, this, y'all, look, I don't know, I can't see how many people on here, but we should have about 8, 9, 11 shares already. I don't know how many we got. How many we got, Tanya? 6. Oh, well, that's wonderful. Look here, look. Y'all talk to me now in the comment. 8. Oh, bless the Lord. We've got to move beyond the norm. I wonder what would happen for those churches that this is not a normal occurrence. For a church that said, I'm going to show up on Sunday, and I know I'm supposed to preach, I know we're supposed to do this and do that, but I just want us to worship. I just want us to have an hour of worship. Come on. Where we just come in and we just worship. We allow our psalmist and our instrumentalist and our those who have been blessed to just take us into the throne room and worship. And the Spirit will dictate if a word needs to go forth. But I believe God sometimes doesn't require us to say much. I believe God just wants us to. What would happen if we just came in and shown up and just said, Lord, today I'm not gonna do nothing extra, God. Today, God, I'm just gonna show up and I'm just gonna show up and worship you, God. Today I just want to come and stretch out at the altar. Woo! My God, I just want to stretch out at the altar. Max Clark says, hey, sister, your count is one up. I'm here with Max. That's Gail. She's talking to you, Tanya. Look, I wish y'all would get this, man. People are and shout outs and prayers out to my brother Max Clark and his family. Hopefully, we're going to already call that done and that y'all going to be safe. That those come back negative and y'all gonna be good to go. I'm gonna keep y'all lifted up in prayer. Y'all gonna be all right. I'm not even worried about that thing. So y'all, we're gonna keep y'all and y'all whole family lifted up, and the dogs and the cat. Everybody lifted up in prayer. But I again, churches that are always looking for churches that lack resources. I wonder, what does your praise account look like? That's a good sermon title. What does your praise account look like? We are everybody be concerned what their bank account look like. Shout, light, negative, whatever. But what does your praise account look like? What does your praise account look like? What does your like what if you store it up? What if you store it up so that you can that somebody can withdraw from? A lot of us, we don't store up anything because we don't put nothing in it. We don't put nothing in it. But then we always expect God to show up. Well, you know, I'm going to pray today. Yeah, but you've been coming to church all year. Now, but because you need something, now you're going to pray. But if you were a praising church, if you were a worshiping church, if you were a praying church, then doubt, first of all, membership would have no doubts. Uh-oh, I said what I said. Membership would have no doubts. Members wouldn't doubt. And watch this. When you are a praising church, it allows people to see what your vision looks like. It gives people some insight into what your vision is. When you are a church that lacks praise and lacks worship, and when I say lack, that don't mean you don't do it. It just means you don't do it enough. At my school, we grade ones, twos, threes, and fours. If your praise level is at a two, if you at a two, and now because we're in what we call Zoom school, you know, remote learning, distance learning, you know, if your praise level is at an incomplete, I got a whole lot of emails with incompletes on them. Is your praise level incomplete? You know what the incomplete is? Let me tell you what some of my kids do. They hit the turn-in button on the assignment, but it's blank. So the assignment says, when I go to the Google Classroom, it says turned in. But when I open it up, uh-oh, that's a sermon. That's a word right there. When I open it up, it's blank. See? Uh-huh. See, that's what some of our praise looked like. It looked like you got dressed, well, you went to church. But what does your lifestyle say? I don't hear nobody. Oh, this is going to be good. I remind me what I said later on. But there is something that happens when a church changes its atmospherical condition. Is that a word, atmospherical? Did I just make that up? Is atmospherical a word? I might have just, you know. Look, my degree is not in me. I did not go to school to be a meteorologist. But atmospherical feel like it might be a word. It sound like it's wrong? Really? Let me ask Google. Hey, Google. Is atmospherical a word? She ain't responding. Don't you can put an AL on it. Atmospherical. What you got? Here you come. Well, let me make sure your mic on. What you got?
I don't have anything.
You was finna say something.
I just want to make. She didn't say what you said.
What?
So whatever plural you put on there.
What you trying to say?
Y'all not on one accord.
Let me see if this is.
And
a
I
word.
Ain't talking about the car.
Atmospherical is a word.
Today.
It is a word. Don't do that. It is. Oh God. Anyway. It is. It's a word. Now, if I was playing Scrabble, I would have had big money on that. Anyway, what time is it? It's 7:50. All right. The last thing is, we were supposed to talk about this on Monday, and we didn't. What was the pastor's name? I had it up on this thing, and then I the pastor that got fired from Hillsong, right? From Hillsong Church, Pastor Carl Lentz. You all heard about this? Pastor Carl Lentz was fired from Hillsong Church. If you know anything about Hillsong Church, when we talk about praise and worship, Hillsong Church is one of those places that kind of has maintained maintained a large impact on the worship, praise and worship scene. Let me give you a little bit of this from the Christian from Christian News. It says Carl Lentz, pastor of Hillsong East Coast, was fired for moral failures, what he says. Hillsong East Coast pastor Carl Lentz has been fired, citing leadership issues and breaches of trust, plus a recent revelation of moral failures. Hillsong Church Global Senior Pastor Brian Houston said the decision was not made lightly. He says it would not be appropriate for us to go into detail about the events that led to this decision. Houston wrote in an announcement posted to the church's website. But the pastor did come out with a statement on his own. He says, "I take full responsibility," is what he said. He says, "I was unfaithful." He says, "I was unfaithful in my marriage, the most important relationship in my life, and held accountable for that." He says, "The failure is on me and me alone. I take full responsibility for my actions." He wrote in a caption for an image featuring his family. It says, blah, 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 let me get to the rest of this. Sports commentator Emmanuel Acho also responded, expressing his support, praying for you and your family, brother. Lentz appeared earlier this year in a video Acho produced as part of his Uncomfortable Conversations with Black Men series. That's a good conversation too. I just started watching that. That's a really good show. Here's the deal. This is where you have to, you know, when you walk the walk, when you talk the talk, you have to walk the walk, and that's for all of us. And, you know, I ain't pointing no fingers at the pastor. I ain't throwing no shade. That's for all of us. When you decide to accept this calling, you have to accept all that comes with it. All that comes with it. And that's for any leadership position, right? If God calls you to be pastor of a church, or you become president of the United States, you open yourself up for more scrutiny, and you're expected to set the example. You're expected to set the example. Clark said his Google assistant just answered the question I asked.
When I said,
"Hey Google," I guess his Google answered. Well, that's good, man. Cause see, mine at home just started talking on her own, like you know, like she pay rent or something or mortgage, like she, you know, she just started talking. But you have to. There is a certain level of accountability that we all have to have. Even if you're a teacher, there's a certain level of accountability that you have, because there are expectations that are placed on you. What's going on, Elect Lady? God bless you. What's on? God bless y'all. Let me speak to some of y'all. Delphine, God bless you. The Clark family, I see y'all on here. But there are certain expectations that are placed on you when you're placed into a position, right? It doesn't matter what the title is. There are certain expectations that are placed on you. And it's not that you have to live up to them. When you said yes to that position, those expectations become yours. So people, and again, that's not saying you have to be perfect. No one is expecting you to be perfect. No one is asking you to be perfect. But what we are saying is that when you're going to be standing before people and preaching a certain thing and saying a certain thing, and it's hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm a long way from perfect. Let me say that again real loud for the people in the back, just in case somebody wants to say something different. I'm a long way from being perfect. But at the same time, the goal ought to be, don't live in your imperfections. The goal ought to be striving for perfection. So find those areas where you have imperfections, and what can you do so that you're no longer that you have those imperfections. Wounds heal, but they do leave scars. Come on now. They do leave scars. You can go and have a successful surgery, but that surgery does leave scars. So when you're in a leadership position, you have to be careful, because not only do you scar you scar your flock, because they get hurt when you hurt. And when you cause hurt, your hurt is not just you, it's not just your family, you're hurting a congregation. Because churches build relationships based off their leadership. Relationships are built from church leaderships. Church leaders get together. You make partnerships. You make business partnerships, business relationships, all types of situations, some of them even political. And when you fall, you make it harder on those relationships. I'm trying to help somebody. When you fall, you make it harder on those relationships. Our goals as Christians ought to be, look, this is not to be perfect, not to act perfect, but to strive for it. Kobe Bryant wasn't a perfect free throw shooter, because if he was perfect, he would be shooting 100%. But he made it a point to shoot 100-some-odd free throws and before every game. Why? Because he was striving for perfection. And when you want to be great at something, you need to work at it. You need to work at it. Amen. It's 7:58. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into our conversation for tonight. We're going to jump into our conversation for the evening. Real good talk we're going to have tonight, y'all. Real simple and straight to the point. Worship, spectators or participators. Which one are you, a spectator or a participator? Which one are you? That's our topic of conversation for tonight. In the meantime, we're going to take a real quick break. Let me see. It is Praise Break Friday. So let me see if I can get a little bit of where my man at, because I can go for a little praise break just real quick. I can't find my music. That's because this stuff is – why is this stuff all out of order in my stuff here? They did an upgrade, and now all of my stuff is here. Where's my man at? Come on, Kirk Kyle.
Thank you.
That's right. That's right. You got to tell your neighbor, give me some room. That's right. If it get good to me, I need a little room. I need a little room. I need a little room, little room, little room, little room. That's right. I need a little room. I need a little room. Make a little room, little room, little room. Leave me a little air, little air. Give me a little space. Give me a little space. So I can get this juke on. So I can get this juke. Huh? Let me get a little space. A little space. I can, so let me see your footwork. Let me get a little space. A little space. A little space. Oh, God. All right, y'all. We got this good article. Let me pull this back up on this device over here because I left my iPad, everything at home, but we good. It's gonna, we gonna make it work out. Jesus can work it out if you let him. Huh? That problem that I had, huh? I just couldn't seem to solve. I almost got happy with that just that quick. All right. So the article says, it's an article from Church Leaders. It says, worship spectators or participators. Worship spectators or participators. That's our article for the night. What's wrong? Huh? Oh, we got 10. What? We got 10 shit. Look at God. Y'all come through here now. Act like you know Jesus. Look, my thing say 11. Well, bless the Lord. Come on now. So the writer says this. He says, when the Navy starting quarterback was injured in the first half of a 2016 game with Fordham, the coaches called freshman Malcolm Perry out of the stands and into the game. He was listed as the team's number 4 quarterback. The number 3 quarterback had been suspended that week, so consequently the number 2 quarterback was the only one left with no backup if needed. Perry was actually dressed in his Navy uniform whites in the stand when with the brigade of other students student midshipmen. The article goes on to say the young quarterback didn't even have his football uniform at the stadium, so the coaches had to send someone to pick it up from the team locker room back at the Naval Academy. By the fourth quarter, he was on the field playing in the game. Perry certainly realized that day the difference between watching the game from the stands as a spectator and actually engaging in the game on the field as a participator. A spectator is someone who attends or watches an event or game as an onlooker, observer, or member of an audience. A spectator could be a fan or foe, depending on who is playing and what is being played. And spectators sometimes assume they are in the game just because they are in the stands. Y'all know how we do. Y'all know because, you know, when the Lakers was playing in the playoffs, I was very upset when they lost the game. What sports ball was we at? We was at the Crossroads. I was standing up in the middle of the floor, waiting on the comeback, and it didn't quite happen. But you know, end of the day, we got the ultimate spectator over here. We got that chip.
French.
Yeah, we my Chablis, come with me to the Casbah. But anyway, a participator, the writer says, a participator is someone who is engaged or involved in or contributing to an event or game. A participator is one who invests in, takes part in, or shares in. And participators are really in the game because they're actually on the field. So here we go. If those of us who lead want congregants to be participators rather than spectators, then we must facilitate worship not just depending on our strengths and abilities. We must also invest in the strengths and abilities of those with whom we worship and engage them on the field rather than being satisfied with them observing from the stands. Can we pause right there? That means I have to take the time to see what works and what does not work. That means I just can't play music that I think is going to work. I just can't play what I like, play what makes me feel good. I have to look and see what works for my audience. I was taught as a young preacher, know your audience. If I was called to go preach at Moody Bible Institute, depending on the and Moody Bible, the very conservative crowd, I changed that. If I was asked to go down to my school in Lynchburg, Virginia, and preach to an audience in Lynchburg, Virginia, my sermon would probably be different than that of one I would give at an African-American church. Now, that doesn't change the scripture, but it changes my delivery. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It changes my delivery. If I'm preaching to in a traditional church, a traditional old-school Baptist church with older, more mature members, meaning, you know, they 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, you know, sometimes my approach may be different. If I see a room full of young people, then guess what? I know that there are certain things that I can use. There are certain analogies or illustrations that I can use that won't go over anyone's head. Huh? So if I'm up there preaching and I say and I say the Bible says, and then I follow up with no cap, no cap, no cap. I can say that if I'm in a room with people, if I got a bunch of people in the room that's 25 and under, huh? I can say that, right? I can say keep it 100 in that room. If I say keep it 100 and no cap in a room full of 50 and 60 years old, they're gonna be like, you need 100? What you need? Did he say he need to keep my 100? Did the pastor just ask me for 100? Is that what he just said? No, see, right. No cap. I hope he ain't got no cap on in the church. See what I'm saying? You have to know, if you want them to be active in your, you have to make it, you have to watch this, make it palatable to them. Palatable is a word. You have to make it palatable to them. Meaning, watch this, give them something they can, come on now, Aretha said it like this, giving them something he can feel. You got to give them something that they can actually chew on. Give them something that they can digest. Come on now. The writer says this. He says, when we always read, speak, sing, play, pray, testify, lead, meditate, commune, baptize, confess, thank, petition, and exhort for them, how can we expect congregants to ever transform from passive worship spectators into active worship participators? This is why it's so important that you select songs that they too can sing. This is why you have to give space in your worship service for them to have moments. She said, say that three times fast. What? Palatable? when you give them the opportunity, it allows them the freedom to worship. And you want people to have a sense of freedom to worship. A sense of, if I choose to stand up in the middle of service because when I'm sitting there, and I don't care if it's in the middle of the offering, I don't care if it's in the middle of Sunday school, if I'm having a moment and I think about the goodness of Jesus and I just decide to say, hey, hallelujah, God, if I just decide to stand up and do that, that ought to be all right. Because you've told me, based on your actions as leaders, that is allowed. And if we want to have some sustained worship, what do you mean by sustained worship? Meaning, okay, y'all been up there 10 minutes of time to sit down. See, no. So now you're putting a clock on it. You're putting a stopwatch on God getting glory. You're putting a stopwatch on praise. Come on now. The writer says this. He said, participatory worship, I like these words, participatory worship is intentionally collaborative and is not guarded, territorial, defensive, or competitive. It leverages and trusts the creative abilities and resources of the whole in planning, preparing, and implementing worship. We're talking about participatory worship. I'm trying to think of the song. Y'all look at me like y'all people probably saying, what do you mean participatory worship? If you've ever been to a concert, right? Y'all go to like, okay, what's the crew? I'm not a big fan. Frankie Beverly and Maze. I know I'm gonna get. Somebody try to take my black card. But Frankie Beverly and Maze. I've never been a big fan of Frankie Beverly and Maze. But if you go to a Frankie Beverly and Maze concert, you can't even hear Frankie Beverly and Maze sing. You know why? Because everybody in the audience is singing the song. That's called participatory. They are there, and they are saying, you know what? This thing means something to me. I grew up on this, or my mama grew up on this, or this is played in the house all the time. And I know these words, so I'm going to stand up and belt these words out to the highest level. I don't care how off-key I am. I'm just going to get up and sing this song. So, there's certain old school rap songs, right? What was the joint? if Dougie Fresh,
there we go.
If Dougie Fresh started singing, what's the name? Lottie Dottie. Everybody and their mama, anybody who was born between 1970 and 1990 know that song. And if you hear it, you know the words. And he don't even have to rap. All he got to do is start it, and we finish the song for him. That's called participatory. So the same thing happens in worship. The writer says this. He says, participatory worship is intentionally collaborative, and it is not guarded. Meaning, that means the people who do the music are intentionally trying to get you, trying to light a fire under you to get you to participate. Intentional. Your worship has to be intentional. To God be glory, says, you know me, I'm off beat for real, but I sang anyway. Look, and that's okay. Now, if you're in the microphone singing, you need to be on key. Let me say that real quick. Let me say that again for the people in the back, for the people in the balcony, the people listening in Russia right now, wherever you're listening at. If you got the microphone up to your mouth, like, see this mic right here, y'all? This, y'all see this? This is my church mic. It just stays. This is my Sunday mic. This is my mic for out there in the other room. It just stays in here. See, y'all can't see it, but my name is on it right there. See, underneath the thing right there. Let me take this off a little bit. But yeah, see, my name is on the mic. Now, see, I don't sing well. Let me say that again. I don't sing well, but the parts that I do know, that's when you'll see me, like, you know, singing to the microphone. When I don't know, I make it a point to pull this bad boy way down. So y'all see how y'all can hear me real good in the mic? On Sunday, if it's good to me, I'm going to be like, yeah, all up in here. And then when I don't know what I'm doing, I'll be like, yeah, yeah. And then when it get good, I'll bring it on back. So yeah, you can please tell somebody sing on key. I know that's right. Somebody sing on key. Because those of us that, if you're not mic'd, you're just a part of the chorus. So you can blend. It's okay. But if you got the microphone, I'm going to need you to find a key. Preferably one of the ones that's actually on the piano. One of the ones that's actually on the piano. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now, if you into H's and I's and the J's, I'm going to need you not to have a microphone. If you feel an I in your spirit, if you feel a L flat, If you feel a J flat in your spirit, I'm gonna need you not to sing into the microphone. All right, come on. So the writer goes on, he says this. He says, so the leader that promotes participative worship taps into the collective resources and talents of others by affirming publicly and privately their value to worship health. Those leaders who encourage participatory worship, watch this now, those leaders who encourage participatory worship are not threatened when someone else gets their way or gets the credit. Woo! Can I read that part again for somebody that might be listening and might want to have a problem? It says, so the leader that promotes participative worship taps into collective resources and talents by others, affirming publicly and privately their value to worship health. Those leaders who encourage participatory worship are not threatened when someone else gets their way or gets the credit. Because at the end of the day, it's about the worship. God don't get the glory anyway. It don't matter who it is. If I'm the leader and somebody else is putting forth all the work to help us have a wonderful worship service, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? If it's really about God, what difference does it make? Yeah, that's why I said L flat. So to close out with this, he says, and participatory worship is a culture, not a one-time event. See, participatory worship is a culture, not a one-time event. That's good, y'all. That's good. That thing just blessed me. It's the culture and not a one-time event. I hope somebody got this. I hope somebody got this because it is so, so important. For those of you who don't sit in a seat of leadership when it comes to worship, you don't sit in a you're not in the choir. You are not a part of praise and worship. You're not a pastor or preacher sitting in the pulpit. You just happen to be in the congregation. Guess what? It's okay. It's okay to create a culture or an atmosphere that says that participatory worship is a culture and not a one-time event. Because when it becomes the norm, then the atmosphere of the church changes. And see, I keep using Faith Works and Vision as my example, because it's the norm there. It's the norm there. My brother Harold Washington's church, it's the norm there. And watch this. Why would I not want to be at a place? Why would I not? Let me say that again. Why would I not want to be at a place where God dwells constantly? Do I want to go to a place, let me say it like this, do I want to go to a place that God visits every now and then? Or do I want to be at a place where he dwells constantly? Oh, God, that just did something for me. Think about it. Why would I want to go someplace where God might show up? Huh? Why would I want to go someplace where he might or might not show up? Come on now, y'all know I like to give evidence. Somebody grab a Bible. Psalm 91, or the 91st division of the psalm, huh? Says something like, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, I will trust in him. He who dwells in shelter. That's another version. It says, he who dwells in shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. If I know that, that a place where God is a shelter, and I know that this is a place that he's, that I can get covered, that I can get refreshed, that I can get revived. Watch this. You got two options. You can go to the doctor's office that's in a private building after hours for your gunshot wound, or you can go to the emergency room where you know there are some doctors on staff. I'm going to ask the question again. If I got an emergency, am I going to go to my private doctor's office that has office hours? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Office hours. Do anybody got a big red spirit? My office hours are from 9 to 5. Do I want to go somewhere where they have office hours, or do I want to go somewhere where if I show up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I know there's somebody that can take care of me? If I show up at 1:45 in the afternoon, I know there's somebody that can take care of me. If I show up at 2:13 on a Tuesday, whoo, glory to him, somebody can take care of me. I want to be wherever he is. My God, today. I want to be wherever he is. So why would you not want to be in a place that not only welcomed the Spirit of God, not only welcomed it, but made room for it? Ah, see, it's one thing to welcome somebody into your house. You can welcome them in. Hey, come on in. Yeah, come on in. But watch this. You know you're welcome. Letting you in don't mean you're welcome. Letting you in don't mean you're welcome. It's when I offer you a seat. Ah, come on now. It's when I offer you a seat lets you know that you're welcome. Come on, somebody. So why not make your building, your sanctuary, watch this, your body. Why not make it a place where God can come and have a seat? Why not make it a place where he can rest? Glory to him. Why not? Why not make it a place where God can dwell? It's 8:25. We on time. What you got?
Talking as the producer.
Uh-huh.
Because I guess it got too good, and at 8:20 everything is started to act up.
Oh, did
you've it? You've been. It has been beautiful.
Is it flowing, and now all of a sudden want to act up?
At 8:20, it said you can end your show now.
Oh, that's all right. We on time tonight. We on time. We thank God for the great connection we've had so far tonight. He gonna grant us 5 more good minutes to finish this thing out. He gonna grant us 5 more good minutes to finish this thing out. Let me see. Yeah, it dropped a little bit. It's at 17. It dropped a little bit. It did drop a little bit. No, it's going back up though. It's going up. It's still going. So anyway, I thank y'all, man. I thank y'all for the night. Let's go to the throne. Let's go to the throne, shall we? If that's all right with y'all, let's go to the throne and pray for a few moments and give God some praise on this evening. If that's all right with y'all, and we can use Psalm 91. As our liturgical selection, Psalm 91. We can use Psalm 18 as our liturgical selection for tonight. But he is still an amazing scripture that will get you where you need to be. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. God, we thank you, God, just for allowing us again to be in your presence on today. God, we just thank you and we bless your name today, God. Lord God, we recognize that you are an awesome God and that you can do anything but fail. So, God, we come right now to the throne asking, God, that you continue to do what you do, God. Continue to be the head of our lives. Continue to protect. Continue to provide. Continue to give us all that we need and some of the things that we want. Lord God, we just thank you right now just for being who you are. Now, God, for those that are at the sound of my voice, God, I pray prosperity over them right now, God. I pray healing, God. I pray deliverance, God. I pray feeling better right now, God. I pray right now, God, that all tests that have been taken come back negative right now, God. I pray all bank accounts that are negative turn positive right now, God. I pray all relationships that are cracking be healed right now, God. I pray for marriages right now, God. I pray for engagements, God. I pray for restored relationships between mothers and daughters and fathers and sons and fathers and between mothers and sons and daughters and fathers. I pray restoration right now, God. God, I pray healing in churches right now, God. I pray unity in church organizations right now, God. I pray unity in church leadership right now, God. I pray right now, God, that you would have your way, God. Now, God, even for the city of Chicago right now, God, even though we're in the midst of a second wave of this COVID-19, God, I pray right now that you would continue to cover, God, not only cover but heal, not only heal but deliver, and not only heal, deliver, and cover, but also set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My God, today. Hey, y'all, look, we're finna get out of here. But we can call them, can't we? Huh? Yes, sir. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on. Why? That's it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Come on, come on. My God. See y'all Monday. Y'all know the rules. If you got to drive through this special city we call Chicago, do me a favor, my brother and my sister. Keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed. We out.
With your hands up.